Morning. Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. The Sunday school will start on September 8th, and the Sunday school picnic will be on September 15th. And if it's snowing or raining, it'll be on the 29th instead. And because the picnic on the 15th, there's no potluck on the 8th. And the food for the picnic will be hamburgers and hot dogs as usual, but a message will be sent out to the group leads, or I'm assuming. Another note from the Lake Norden, South Dakota congregation, the Dear ALC congregants, the Apostolic Lutheran Church of Lake Norden, South Dakota, would like to welcome all to our fall services with the European Brothers. That's all they said. They didn't actually specify, so I guess you'll have to figure that out yourself. October 20th through the 27th, 2024. And that was all their notes. So, any other announcements? There's a prayer request here from Pastor Kay. They have had heavy flooding in their region, and there's more rain in the forecast, so prayers for them. It sounds like they're kind of half underwater there. So, any other prayer requests? I assume Bible study on Friday will continue at 7. Hudson will read the psalm, and Steve will say the prayer, and Misha will bring us to service. We'll begin.
Thank you. Psalm reading for today is 119, 129 to 136. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of the man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law.
morning, everyone. Shall we join our hearts together in a word of opening prayer? Merciful Father in heaven, we are thankful that you have drawn us together this morning. We are thankful for your love, and we are thankful for the fact that we can look to your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and know that it is not through any of our own works or any of our own merits, any of our own efforts, that we're able to sing and to give thanks and to recognize the hope that we have. It is all through your grace and the love that you have shined upon us through Jesus Christ, your word. Father, we are thankful that you are always full of grace for the sinner and full of hope, undying hope, constant hope for the believer. Where, Father, in a world where there is so much hopelessness, there is a place of hope, and that is at your throne, at your altar, in your word, and in your Son. Father, we give thanks for your grace, which is constant and which we can identify sometimes, but often pass it by without even realizing that it was your grace that was able to carry us through this, that, or the other event in our life. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your provision for us. The food we eat, the clothing we wear, the shelter that we have, those basic needs that even now, as we hear in at least three states in India, are not available. The power is gone. The floods are raging. Many people have died. And our hearts go out to all of them there, and to Pastor Kay and Ruth, who in the middle of this have also both been suffering from a serious viral infection. And so, Father, when we think and try to cast our imaginations and minds across the world to that place, we cannot fully know what it is like and how hopeless it looks. But Father, we pray that you would give hope in the middle of those storms, hope in the middle of all that has happened, and hope as they emerge out the other side. May this be a time when people will even turn more and in other numbers to you and to your word and to truth and to solidness and to the solid rock. May this be a time where your name is brought honor and glory, not only because of the demonstration of power, but also the demonstration of your grace and mercy and love. Father, that is our prayer. For it is through the goodness that you have and that you are that anyone is brought to repentance. And we pray that people will see your power, but also your love. They will see your righteousness, but also your mercy and grace. And Father, we pray for all of those people there in a spiritually troubled country. And we give thanks for the hope that we have. It seems in our society we don't need to hope for much naturally. May our minds never go there and assume that what is will always be. May we never rely on that which we see with our eyes. But may our hope be as fixed upon you and your Son, Jesus, and through the power of your Spirit, may our hope be as fixed on you as it is for people who are in a time of great trouble. And for those that are in trouble among us and around us, Father, we know that when one of us is in trouble, it's hard to look at others and think that life has been fair, that life has somehow been just. And Father, we ask that if there is anyone in trouble in any way, that you, through your word and your love, would be able to touch them and bring their head from looking down to looking up. Father, we ask that your word would go out far and wide, the message of the gospel, as you have promised in your word. And Father, we ask that it would be done among us. We give thanks for the fellowship that we have with each other, the ability we have to show one another how we are all on the same spiritual journey, although each course, each path is different and unique, but nonetheless the destination is the same. Father, bless our service this morning as we've gathered. May each heart be tuned and prepared and softened and pricked by the power of your word. Be with our brother Misha as he brings to us a portion from your word that he has been inspired to speak about, that we might receive whatever it is that you have for us individually this morning. Bless the elderly and the aged, those who are near, certainly, the end of time on this life, in this earth, and can often be filled with many doubts and with even bitterness and anger as to the pain and the loss of function and other things that go along with the fact that our bodies are failing. Uplift them, Father, and know that you are close, that you are close to them, and hold them. All of this we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with number 405.
Thank you. Good morning and grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we gather it again in this church, in this wonderful and beautiful Sunday morning when weather is very good and everything is peaceful and quiet around us. But as we heard today, that in some other places there are troubles and disasters, like for example in India, we heard today. And also around us here, right here, is not everything quiet and peaceful. There are also troubles and problems, and some hidden conflict is going on around us. And let us turn to our text for today. This is Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 20. And this is the final closing part of this epistle which Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in the town of Ephesus. And let us read in the name of Jesus Christ, starting from verse 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Amen. And here this epistle to Ephesians is quite profound epistle, and Apostle Paul gives many different messages, instructions, and advices to a Christian in that town, Ephesus, but also to us today. And he gives some theological things here, and practical advices for family life, and for so many good advices for our daily life. But here he speaks about a different thing, and in fact he speaks here about a spiritual battle, spiritual war, which is going on. And this is the oldest war which mankind ever had. We knew from history that in France, I remember between France and England, maybe it was a 100-year or 100-year war. So the war which lasted for 100 years, it is very long war. But this spiritual war is much, much longer. And it started even before first people, first humans were created. It started long before that. And what kind of war? We know that God, first before humans, he created angels. He created angels, spiritual creatures, powerful and strong, and they were, all of them were holy and perfect. But the best angel of that, of those, one day he decided that he wants to be equal to God, and he rebelled against God. And also he attracted many other angels, and total number, it was one-third of total number of angels were seduced by that fallen angel. Lucifer was his name, or we know him also as Satan. And those fallen angels went against God. And because of that, they were expelled from heaven. Yeah, and since that time, they have a war against God. But when God created humans, those Satan and those fallen angels, they managed to attract to their side majority of people, majority of humans. And we know that first civilization, maybe we can call it, was destroyed by flood, which God sent to the earth. And those people were destroyed because of their sinfulness. Because they didn't obey God, they didn't listen to God, they lived in sin. And only 8 people, Noah and his family, they were saved because they were faithful to God. And a number of those people, we don't know exactly who lived before the flood, but some experts say that that number was from several tens of million, or maybe tens of billion people. So a lot of people lived there. And all of them were destroyed because their disobedience to God. So they were on the side of Satan. And now we have the same battle, because when we are saved, when we when all people are born sinners, and in fact they are on the side of Satan also because they are sinners. And but when, because of preaching of God's word, they listen to preaching of God's word and they repent in their sins, and people come to God and they convert, and they through faith, they receive forgiveness of sins, which God grants to them because of his grace. And at this moment, we go from Satan's side to God's side. And when we are saved, when our sins are forgiven, we are members of God's society, God's people, and God's army, we can say. And here Paul speaks about this spiritual battle. And in verse 10 he writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And Paul asks us to be strong not just in ourselves, but he teaches us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because when we are just ourselves, it doesn't matter how we are smart and or maybe wise and strong, but we are not rivals for Satan. Satan is much more powerful, and if we fight with him just ourselves, we will lose with no doubts. So he will defeat us very easily. Some people say it will be for him easier than for us to brush off a mosquito from our hand. So, but this is a different story when we are in the Lord, like Paul writes here, and in the power of his might. And we know that Satan is strong, but the Lord Jesus Christ is much more stronger, and he has more power. And how can we fight with Satan? We know that soldiers on the war, they use different types of weapons. And here in this spiritual battle, we also should have and use a special weapon also, but not physical, but spiritual. And in the verse 11, Apostle writes, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. So there is some armor of God which we can put on ourselves. And also he says whole armor of God. So there are several elements of this spiritual weapon, and we should use and have all of them, whole armor of God. And why should we have it? Which purpose? And he writes here, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So devil will attack us with different tricks, like it is written, the wiles. He will attack us, and this armor of God can help us to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand. And then verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against..." So, okay, let us stop here. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." And who has flesh and blood? We, people, human, have flesh and blood. We have, and all people have flesh and blood. So our wrestle, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It means that our battle is not against people, even against wicked and evil people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in higher places. And who are those principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places? Here, Apostle probably means all those fallen angels, because head of them is Satan, but other fallen angels are demons and devils. So, and they have also, they represent as army, as enemy army against us. And any army has its own structure. It has commanders and soldiers, and chief commander of that enemy army is Satan himself, and others, other fallen angels, other demons, devils, they represent lower levels of this army. So our wrestle, our battle is against those spirits, evil spirits. So against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in higher places. So we know who is our enemy. Our enemy is Satan himself and his devils, demons, so all this spiritual army which comes against us. And what is purpose? What is their purpose? What do they want from us? We know when some country attacks another country, army attacks another country, they want to take maybe land, they take some national resources, maybe some gold, or I don't know what. But Satan doesn't need anything like that from us. He doesn't need our money, our houses, our land. No, he doesn't need it. But he needs our soul, and he wants our soul to be destroyed. He wants us to be destroyed in eternity. And about this spiritual war is going on about our souls. And of course, enemy is very strong and powerful, but like it is we read in the previous verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We know that we are not alone in this battle, and God is on our side. And God is fighting for us and together with us. And even here in the same book of Ephesians, but in the first chapter, verses maybe even from 17 to 21, but I will read maybe from verse 20. It is written here that God raised him, which he wrote, verse 20, which he wrote in Christ when when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So from the scriptures we know that God and Jesus Christ is much more stronger and powerful than those principalities, powers also. And here in verse 21, similar words, almost the same words, far above all principality. So our wrestle is against principalities, but here Jesus is far above all principality. And then our battle is against powers, verse 12, and verse 21, chapter 1, and power and might and dominion. So Jesus is much more powerful, and he is with us against this Satan and his fallen angels. So, and this is a good news. And verse 13 of our text, So it speaks, begins to speak about armor itself. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And again, Paul writes here, take unto you the whole armor of God, like in the verse 11 also he wrote, put on the whole armor of God. So all set of this armor should be put on us. And then we will win this battle. So, and what is the purpose of our battle? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So here Paul speaks about our task in this battle, to withstand and then to stand. And before, also somewhere, in the verse 11 also, Paul uses this word, that ye may be able to stand. And again, ye may be able to withstand and stand. So three times Paul repeats here, withstand, to stand. So our task in this battle is to stand against the Satan and his angels. There is no task for us to attack, to offense. We know that war has different things to defense and to attack, to offense. But in this battle, we have to defense, and we don't have task to attack, to offense, and even we don't have a task to defeat Satan, because we know Satan has been already defeated by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary when he was crucified and when he died for our sins. And Jesus inflicted a mortal wound to this Satan. And he is wounded mortally. And we know that his time is coming to the end. But still he is here, still he is very dangerous, and still he is very strong. So our task is to defend against his attacks. So how Paul writes here, to withstand and to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And what is that evil day which Paul writes? Evil day. Evil day, I think this is our time we live in. So this is evil time, evil day, because we live in this sinful world, and Satan even called prince of this world, and many earthly rulers obey him because of different reasons. And so we live in this evil day when we are under attack of Satan's. But we have, like it is written, and having done all, to stand. And to stand, we should remember again, not just ourselves, but in the Lord, like we sang here in one hymn. It was word, I overcome, yet not me, but through Christ. I overcome, but yet not I, but through Christ in me. So through Christ in me, we can to stand. Okay, and verse 14, next verse. And again, it begins with the word stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So here Paul speaks about two items of our armor. So this is we should be girt about with the truth, and we should have breastplate of righteousness. And what type of truth he speaks about? So, but first, maybe we should say, so we should be girt with a belt, because when we, even in normal, in usual battle, when some soldier, if he has loose garments, it is not convenient for him, and the enemy can catch his garment and to defeat him. So, soldier shouldn't have any loose garment. And the same for us. So for us, it means that we should be prepared, we should be ready for this battle, we should be ready for our journey, which is not simple and easy. We have a thorny path before us, and we should be prepared with and should have some kind of belt. And then, which truth? And we know that Satan is a liar, he is a tricky one, and he is different kinds of deception he uses, but we should be different. We should be in truth. It means that we should be honest, sincere, and to live in truth. We shouldn't be liars, and because against Jesus is our example, and if Satan is a liar, he tries to deceive us, and his opposition, Jesus, he never said even a word of lie. He always spoke only truth. And we should follow him. So in this, so we should be in truth. And then we should, it is in here, we should have a breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate, Paul, when he writes here about this weapon or this armor in this spiritual battle, he uses example of warriors of that time. Maybe he uses example of Roman soldiers of that time, because he saw them many times, and we know that this epistle was written by him when he was in captivity, and at that time he saw those Roman soldiers even every day they were before him. And he looked at them, and he liked them as soldiers, because we know that Roman soldiers were disciplined, they were strong, and they didn't have fear, and they obeyed to their commanders. So they were perfect soldiers of that time, those Roman soldiers. And Paul gives us example of them, when their equipment. And breastplate. Breastplate was used, it was made maybe sheet of metal or leather, and it protected breast and abdomen of those soldiers. And when Satan attacks us with his tricks, we should have this spiritual breastplate, which should protect us from his attacks. And what is this breastplate of righteousness? What kind of righteousness? We know that when we are saved, when our sins are forgiven, we receive by God's grace, we are given righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yes, and this perfect righteousness. But here, probably we have a different thing. We maybe can think here about so-called practical righteousness. So what does it mean, practical righteousness? So we know about our sins, we know about our temptation better than anybody else. Of course, God knows about them, and Satan also knows, but not so well as God knows. But we know also. And we should be, when we know about our sins, when we know about our weaknesses, we should be careful about that. So if we know that we are soon to become angry, maybe we should hold ourselves, not to fall in anger. Or maybe some other kinds of sin, maybe, I don't know, different kinds. Maybe somebody likes to play some games, or maybe even sometimes to drink something different from water, like alcohol or something. So we know about this, and we should be careful about this, because sometimes when we fall in a sin, we say, oh, Satan tempted us, Satan attacks, and this is because of Satan, because of him. But Satan can attack us only when he finds a weak spot in our breastplate. When he finds weak spot, vulnerable spot in us, and he attacks there. So we should be careful about that, and we should remember about that. We should know our sins, and we should be careful about that. We shouldn't give an opportunity to Satan to attack us. And again, Jesus is the best example for us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 30. John 14, 30. And Jesus says here, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. So prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me, Jesus said. So this breastplate of Jesus was absolutely perfect, and we should try to have the same. Of course, it is impossible for us, but we should try, we should try. And then verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we know that shoes, footwear is very important for soldiers at any time. And at that time, Roman soldiers had leather sandals with a thick leather sole. And sometimes even they put pieces of metal on that sole from outside to be more steady, not slippery. So shoes are very important. And here Apostle tells us that we should have appropriate spiritual shoes for this battle. So, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what is that gospel of peace here? So we usually know that gospel is a good news. It preached to all people around us, to sinners, and we all, in fact, heard preaching of this gospel, and because of that, we are converted, and we are saved, and we are together with God. But here, gospel of peace, this is probably not preaching gospel to sinners, to everyone around us, but this is, we should have this gospel of peace is used here as our shoes, our footwear, our shoes, and it gives us steadiness. We stand firmly in these shoes, and this is maybe result of gospel for us. And what is the result? We were sinners, then we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was preached to us. And what is the result? We heard good news about forgiveness of our sins, and that we are saved in Jesus Christ, and after this earthly life we will receive a reward, God's reward in heaven. And this is result, gospel of peace. It gives us peace. So we greet each other, often we say God's peace, God's peace. And this is the same peace, I think it is read about here, gospel of peace. So we are in peace, we know about our salvation, and we are confident in it, and we stand firmly in our spiritual battle, and we cannot be shaken by any attacks of Satan and his angels. And then verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And here Paul speaks about shield of faith, shield. And again, here he means a shield which Roman soldiers used. And I think we all saw such shields in historical movies. I also saw, even don't remember which movie, but I can imagine such a shield. And those Roman shields, they had size about in width about 2.5 feet, and height of this shield was 4 to 5 feet, and weight of those shields was about 8 to 10 kilograms, quite heavy. And they were sometimes, they had even metal, it was a wooden shield, covered sometimes with metal, or more often with leather or such rough fabric. And this fabric or leather was also covered with some oil or water before the battle. And when flying arrows from enemies come to soldiers, soldier protected with his shield, and this flying arrow was quenched. So against again, Paul uses this real picture of real shield. But in spiritual sense, what it means. The shield of faith. And when Satan attacks us, we should repel or quench his fiery darts with this shield of faith. We remember that and what fiery darts, what fiery darts does Satan use more often? He tries to convince us that maybe God's word is correct, it is good, but maybe sometimes it is not so good, and maybe in some places it is not correct. So he wants to put some seeds of doubts in us. And Satan uses almost about the same pattern, how he used in the Garden of Eden when he seduced Eve and Adam. He said, maybe God didn't tell you the truth when God told Adam and Eve not to eat from a certain tree, otherwise they can die, they will certainly die. But Satan told them, maybe it is not correct, so you will not die, but you will know like gods ourselves. So, and Satan wants us to have doubts in God, in his word. But when we know the scripture, we can quench all those fiery darts. And the best and then verse 17, and another element. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And helmet was also very important element of armor. It protected head and wound when soldiers had their head wounded. It was very dangerous. Maybe they could die because of that. So it was very protective. And helmet of salvation. And what is this helmet of salvation in spiritual sense for us? We know that we are saved, that our sins are forgiven, but sometimes we can doubt in it. And it is quite often with many Christians. So sometimes we can think, yes, I am saved, but maybe not, maybe I am not saved, and what will be with me after my death? Where will I go? So in this salvation, these doubts are not good. And helmet of salvation means that we should be completely confident in our salvation. We shouldn't have even smallest doubts that we are not saved and that we don't have this salvation. And for me, the very good example of such assurance, I would say blessed assurance in salvation, was Beth, Jordan's mother, who passed away recently, who went to heaven, to her heavenly father, and several times we visited her in the time of her illness, and all the time he showed this complete assurance in her salvation. He was completely confident, and he in fact anticipated that time when she can go to heaven, to Jesus, to her Creator. So, and this is a very good example for us. So we shouldn't have. So she had, Beth had, perfect helmet of salvation. Yeah, and maybe one more thing I want to say, how to quench fiery darts of the wicked. So and the best example for us again is Jesus Christ himself. And In the Gospel of Matthew, we can read when Jesus was in desert and he fasted for 40 days, then he became hungry, and Satan came up to him and tried to tempt him. So Satan thought, or maybe he didn't eat for 40 days. Now this is a good time. He's maybe not so strong how he can be usually. Maybe he's weaker, so I will try to attack him. And Satan tried to tempt Jesus three times. And chapter 4, Gospel from Matthew, in the beginning we can read. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So this is temptation for Jesus. And he says, if thou be the Son of God. So Satan knew very well that Jesus is really Son of God. But here he shows if he doubts, and he asks Jesus to prove if he is the Son of God. And Jesus could do it easily. He could make stones, he could turn stones in bread, but Jesus didn't do it. But Jesus answered it, Jesus answered with God's word. So he quoted some place from Old Testament, and Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah, this is a very good example how Jesus knew God's word, and he used it perfectly. But sometimes people cannot use God's word properly. Sometimes they use God's word not well completely. And I can say from my own practice that people, often I heard from different people, many times they say these words from this, man shall not live by bread alone. People like to say it, man shall not live by bread alone, and they stop here, and they can add maybe not by bread alone, but by also sausage or, I don't know, potatoes. Yeah, I heard it many times, but not bread alone. But even those people don't know continuation of this verse, and sometimes when we say them that this is not the end, this is from the Bible, but not complete. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yes, and then next verse. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him in a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, so Satan tries to tempt him again, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Satan tempts Jesus to jump from a high place. No. He shall be angels charge concerning, and their hands they shall bear. Yeah, okay. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we can see here that Jesus repelled all attacks of Satan with God's word, because Jesus knew very well the scriptures and he can use it perfectly. Even we know when Jesus was at the age of 12 years old, he was in the temple in Jerusalem, and teachers of spiritual teachers of that time were astonished, amazed by his knowledge of the scriptures, even at the age of 12 years old. So, and this Jesus is the perfect example for us. And here we can say the same. When Satan attacks us, we can say him the same as Jesus said. So this is, we can tell Satan, get thee hence, Satan. Get out, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. So we should worship only to God, to the Lord our God. And him only shall thou serve. And only him we must serve. Only to God. Because Satan comes to deceive, to destroy, and to kill. And we should remember about that all the time. He comes to deceive, to destroy, and to kill. And to kill us not only in this life. Maybe even he can do for us that we can flourish in this life, for this short earthly life, in evil day, like it is written here. We can good, maybe if we go together with Satan, and some people go today, some people do it. So we know a lot of from this pop culture, so, or maybe actors or pop singers, so they sell their souls to Satan, and they have good life relatively again. So this is visible, their life. They are rich, they have huge palaces and everything, and they have glory, everybody knows them, but we don't know what is going on in their heart and their soul when they are alone. And they know that they sold their soul to Satan, and he, one day he comes to them to take the soul to him and to throw it to eternal hell, to hell. So this is very dangerous way, and we should remember it. So it is much better to live a normal life here in this earth, like many people around us, and to be in truth, to be honest, to be sincere, to be in God's word, to be with Christ and in Christ, to have our sins forgiven. This is the biggest reward for us, forgiveness of our sins. And now we cannot maybe touch this reward, forgiveness of our sins. But one day comes when we get to heaven, while majority of people will go to another direction, to hell. So majority of people will go to hell. But when we get to heaven, we will see this eternal reward from God. And it will be much, much better than some pop stars have here, or even presidents, or I don't know who. So And last three verses of this text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication the Spirit, and watching thereunto which with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So Paul says that we should pray always. Pray always, and not we should pray not in formal way or automatically, but we should pray with in the spirit, and pray always. It is the best to pray always, and it is possible for us. We should remember about God all the time, and there are some short prayers which we can repeat all the time, maybe when we drive, when we are anywhere. So, and to pray for all saints. So we should pray for each other, we should pray for all Christians, for all Christianity, because the main purpose of Satan is to destroy Christianity. And it is interesting, I would like to say, that sometimes we say that, oh, now we live in a difficult time, ungodly time, but in old times it was much better. Maybe 100 years ago, 150 years ago, it was even better. But recently we bought a book written by wife of Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky, I think you heard, was a famous Russian writer, maybe one of the most famous writers in the world of all times. And after his death, his wife or widow wrote a book of her memories. And she writes there about their family life, about how they lived, and about how he worked, and they had debts, and how they paid those debts, and how different publishing of books, so about many, just ordinary life. But one interesting thing, so for several years they lived in Western Europe. They lived in Germany, in Italy, and in Switzerland. And when they lived in Switzerland, in the town or city Geneva, a famous Swiss city. And in the beginning of September of 1867, there was a Congress of Peace there in that town where they lived then. So, and it was exactly 157 years ago, Congress of Peace, probably international. And it took several days for that Congress, and one day they decided to go there and to listen speakers there. And they spent there 2 hours, she writes, and listened to several speakers. And those speakers said what it is necessary to do to obtain global peace. And item number one, what it was necessary to do, according to their opinion, was to destroy Christian faith. 1867. To destroy, it is written like this, to destroy Christian faith. It wasn't said to destroy religion in general, to destroy, I don't know, Islam or Judaism or many other religions. No, to destroy Christian faith. So, and she writes that they were very disappointed and they left and this Congress and didn't come anymore. So, main purpose of Satan is Christian faith and Christian church. And he tries to attack church, and he invents, Satan, in fact, invents some new ideas. For example, some churches say that repentance is not necessary. You shouldn't repent, so everything is okay, everything is fun, and life is good, and sunshine around us, and good weather. So don't repent, it is not necessary, there is no sin. So this is Satan's work in church. And some churches are possessed with such ideas. So, but we should, in normal church, Christians should hold on for the scriptures, for God's word, and like it is written in another place, right church is that church where Christ crucified is preached. So this is the only one thing we should remember and do it. And also, Satan tries to attack church leaders, leaders of congregations and preachers, pastors, because he knows if he destroy in spiritual sense leader, pastor, then his sheep will be scattered and lost. And because of that, Apostle Paul asks, and for me, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yes, so we should pray for church in general, for church in universal sense, for all Christian churches around the world, and for particular churches, for particular congregation, for our congregation, for preachers, for pastors. Yes, because church leaders are very important to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. So let us continue to pray for those preachers, for those pastors who preach God's word anywhere, for Pastor K, for example, in India, and for other pastors there, for pastors in Africa, in the United States, in Canada, in other congregations of the Apostolic Lutheran Church of America. So let us pray for them. And I would like to finish now and accept God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And the final verse.